thanks everyone for checking in again with the All Lions podcast. Bang the table, made possible thanks to SI.com and Fan Nation. I am the Doc, John Macaroon, here today, man, ahead of a interesting contest for the Detroit Lions against the Chicago Bears this weekend. Key game, even though the Detroit Lions sit at 9-3, you still have competition in the division from the Vikings and the Packers. Really, Green Bay has been making a push, a solid push, over the last month of the season. Jordan Love seems to have been really now taking in the offense and is understanding exactly what Coach LaFleur is looking for. So there's no time at this point in time, is there ever really, in an NFL season, you can't let up. You can never take your foot off the gas. And for the Detroit Lions, it'll be interesting to see, really, in all honesty, what kind of weather will be out there at Soldier Field for the Detroit Lions, because obviously, clearly, Jared Goff does not perform as well in inclement weather, but no offenses really do. You recognize that in games where there's a lot of wind, where it's really cold, you just have to shift your offensive game plan. And for the Lions, they're not going to put Goff in a position to fail. If it's a game where the weather's really shitty, you're going to have an opportunity to really run the football. And you have two weapons in David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs that I think you should put a lot of trust in. If you're the Detroit Lions, I think that if this is a game where you start noticing, okay, it's going to be 25 degrees and a lot of wind and the football is going to be doing some unusual things in pregame, you'll get that sense pretty quickly. And you know the game plan is going to involve heavily running the football. It'll be interesting to see how the offensive line responds without Frank Ragnow potentially. Graham Glasgow obviously will be shifted over to center, and you probably will have Colby Sorsdahl again at right guard, and you'll have this offensive line that unfortunately we've all clamored to see this offensive line stay healthy, but unfortunately it just hasn't happened. And it's just tough because Frank Ragnow and Jonah Jackson, obviously a spell there where Taylor Decker missed a couple of games. You recognize that the Detroit Lions, it's just tough to keep five offensive linemen all healthy at the same time, especially with the caliber of defensive linemen that the Lions are going up against. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the Lions defense, what I think about the Bears, this unusual fascination that Lions Nation has with Ndamukong Suh, despite the way in which he treated you when he was actually here. So we'll talk about that, the moves that Brad Holmes has tried to make. I think people are way overblowing what the impact is going to be, and it's unfortunate. We got to start with the biggest injury that the Lions suffered this season. Aleem McNeil goes on IR, and that's a big loss. It's unfortunate when you lose, anytime when you lose a player, but obviously the Lions and their next man up mentality, you just saw it last week. Alex Anzalone injured his hand, and he underwent surgery after the Thanksgiving loss to the Packers. He obviously was welcoming the birth of his second child, and now he gets back. He has the rod or the plate there inserted into his hand and or the pin to stabilize his thumb, and you recognize, boom, he should, based on when he told reporters this week, he said that basically what's going to determine if he plays or not is pain tolerance. And I think for a player like Alex Anzalone, his pain tolerance level is pretty high. So I would expect, I would be surprised if Alex Anzalone is not out there. And the Lions were able to obviously insert Jack Campbell into his natural position at Mike linebacker. And what did you see? Obviously, a player that understands that position very well and played one of his best games of the season. Everybody saw it. His awareness, his reading recognition, understanding his keys. He understood the position, and that's his natural position. And sometimes, you know, obviously, you know, the Lions drafted a player like Campbell because they believe he can adapt and play the different spots along the defense in terms of the of being a linebacker, doing a little bit more work in pass rush, being at different spots. Because obviously, Alex Anzalone is the leader of the defense and is having a great season himself among the leading tacklers on the team. So the team has been really, in the end, when you look at it, outside of a tough position like the offensive line, Colby Sorsdahl is a rookie and he obviously is going to have some growing pains. Jack Campbell as well. But obviously when the Lions have suffered injuries, you recognize that it's not going to be perfect. But when C.J. Gardner-Johnson went down, you insert Tracy Walker and Kirby Joseph. And while the play hasn't been exceptional and stellar, they've done some things, had some hits, made some plays. And you guys got to remember, as we're talking about this, we're talking about a 9-3 football team. And I know everyone is definitely honing in on the defense. And we're going to talk about it. And there is room for criticism based on Aaron Glenn's demands that this defense be elite. He wants to be criticized heavily too. And I'm certain that the defense is not happy with their performance. Alex Anzalone said it, that they're giving up far too many points, second half points. They're not getting off the field on third down, missed tackles. Kirby Joseph needs to be more fundamentally sound and do his thing. You need the players on the team to, in the secondary, figure out how to handle man coverages, how to be in their position in the right times, and not giving up these big plays to tight ends and these top-end receivers. But it's overwhelmingly difficult. It's easy for me to sit here in my comfortable office and talk about, yeah, the Lions need to execute. It's really tough. Aaron Glenn says it. The other guys are getting paid too, and they're getting paid a lot of money to figure out how to attack the Lions' defense. And in the NFL, I always joke around that friends don't let friends play cornerback. It's just a nightmare position to play. You're always at a disadvantage. You can't guard the way in which you want. You can't play press man coverage every down because the opposition will find ways to pick you apart in a lot of other ways. So it's just difficult, the chess match that defense and defensive coordinators have to try and match wits, to try and match wits with other offenses, and especially great offensive minds that you even have in your division in Coach LaFleur. So you look at it and you say, okay, the biggest area of concern is along the interior of the defensive line. And it's really a concern. Aiden Hutchinson is not getting sacks. And I wonder, you know, it is interesting that, you know, an athlete of his caliber, would he actually cut his hair to try and improve his play, to try and change his feng shui, per se, to try and change his vibe so that he can get more sacks? It was a little bit jarring. Obviously, you got used to him rocking the long hair, the longer hair. And in the locker room this week, we talked to him and boom, he cut his hair. And everybody's going to ask about it. And he said, look, he felt like it was time for a different look, time for a different vibe. And it's interesting the levels of which a player will go to try and change things up. I'm superstitious. I definitely believe in that. I got an office set up here that I feel is super comfortable for me to be as creative as possible to do these broadcasts and to speak my opinions and get my thoughts out there via All Lions. But a player of that caliber, you could sense potentially that only having 5.5 sacks, not finishing as much as he would be used to, is probably getting to him. He's hearing the noise. He's hearing the discussion of the fact that, wait a minute, this guy probably at this point in the season should have 10 sacks already. You assume that if you're going to be elite, that at some point you're going to have to finish more despite facing double teams, despite facing running backs chipping you, tight ends chipping you. You got to find a way to be elite. And maybe the closing speed is not exactly where it needs to be. And it's so key, guys. 1 second, 2 second here or there can cost you if you're an edge rusher. And the get off obviously is important. Where they're trying to line him up all over, you know, hand in the ground, standing up, trying to find any avenue to help unlock Aiden Hutchinson. And I know it's a combination of Aiden needing to do more and the scheme, obviously not having anybody else be a real sack threat, I think makes it easier to give Aiden more attention. So it was a pleasant surprise on Wednesday to see James Houston in the locker room. And he came in there looking and had that swagger and was like, I'm a game changer. I'm somebody that can handle business and I'm ready to come back and do my job. And I think that the Lions clearly missed what he was bringing to the table. And if he could come back for a game or two before the postseason, it would be a spectacular addition. It would be something that could really aid Aiden Hutchinson, aid the others along the interior of the defensive line. It could just help the whole operation. I think him along with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, if they can find a way to suit up for the first playoff game at home at Ford Field, should the Lions win the division, I just think that it brings a whole new swagger to that defense. A guy that burst onto the scene in James Houston with 8 sacks last year. You just can't find those type of players out there. And yeah, the Lions wanted him to obviously learn more of the position and be able to do a variety of tasks so that he's not just a third down sack specialist. But you'll take that right now all day. You'll take a couple sacks before the end of the season, maybe against Kirk Cousins in the finale, or maybe if you can get him back for the Dallas game, that would be spectacular. But if he can get in a game or two, get his legs under him and get the full week of prep for a playoff game, my goodness, would that be a stellar opportunity for the Lions defense? Because that would help Aiden. I think he would definitely, with Aiden Hutchinson, I think with James Houston on the roster and healthy and producing, I think that Hutchinson would probably have at least four more sacks minimum. I think that the extra attention being given to him has derailed his season. And obviously, yeah, he's still getting pressures, but it's still part of his job is to get sacks, because that's a negative play. That's a significant loss. It's a significant situation in which you flip the downs in your favor, you know, down in distance. If you can get a team in second and 14, that puts your odds of getting off the field on third down so much higher. And unfortunately, the Lions haven't been doing that. They've been on the wrong side of the sticks, and the opposition has been executing at a high level on third down. So it's something that has been really impactful. You can see it starting a little bit with the Bears game. You started to see the Bears being able to run the football too. So you see that there's always going to be a challenge with guarding tight ends and with mobile quarterbacks. So I'm definitely curious to see how the Lions are going to respond this week on the road, knowing that the Bears are going to need to run the football as well in a game that could have cold weather. So I'm curious to see how the Lions tackle and approach Khalil Herbert, the running back. Deontay Foreman, I think, is a stellar running back option as well, along with Justin Fields, who I think, again, will be an option that the Bears want to utilize to kind of extend drives and move the chains and just set up reasonable second and third downs. So we'll see. Now, obviously, Aiden is a player that hopefully can right the ship and really have a game where he can have two or three sacks. A breakout game would be much needed for his confidence, I think, for the defense, and it would go a long way for the Lions. But now you got to worry also, who's going to replace Aleem McNeil? And that's been the question. What are the options? How are the Lions going to approach Aleem McNeil and his absence being placed on IR, which means he cannot return at all until the first game he is eligible to return would be the season finale. So you look at it and you say, okay, four games, a month without Aleem McNeil. The Lions obviously have a plethora of options, and I think that the first player that everyone's looking to is second-round pick Levi Onwuzurike, and this is his opportunity. This is his time. If it's going to happen for him here in Detroit, now is the time. The team needs you. You've been in the system. You understand. You're reasonably healthy. Obviously, no player is really healthy at this point in the season, but he's been inactive, a healthy scratch here and there this season. And you recognize, okay, it's a tough injury to come back from that back, but if it's going to happen, bottom line, it's a bottom line production-based business. And, you know, obviously we have sympathy for his plight. We give him ultra credit for trying to work back and trying to definitely get your career off the ground. But the Detroit Lions, from my perspective, invested a second-round pick in Levi Onwuzurike, and they haven't gotten anywhere near the return that they're looking for. You remember what he said when he was drafted, looked straight in the face of the media and was like, I'm here to mess the, you know, to wreak havoc, per se, use other expletives, but to F shit up. That's what he said. And he told the media that directly, and he came in, okay, bombastic, but unfortunately, throughout the course of his career now has dealt with injury and has been away from the game. So now it's his opportunity. And if he can get in there and play alongside John Kaminsky, Charles Harris, and hopefully Romeo Okwara as well, you have an opportunity to make a name for yourself and earn your keep and hopefully avoid that second round draft label bust that the Lions have kind of been known for. Another player, obviously, they like Quentin Bohanna. There's an opportunity maybe later in this week, maybe Saturday, they'll just activate him and sign him from the practice squad to the active roster. But some key decisions need to be made. Obviously, in the next few weeks, if you're going to call up a lot of these guys from the practice squad and sign them to the active roster, you then have to make some cuts. Would that be Julian Okwara? Would that be Stephen Gilmore, Trevor Nowoski? Some guys, obviously, at the lower end of the depth chart might have their spots taken away. We'll see. So we'll see if Quinn Bohanna gets activated. Obviously, Bruce Irvin has a chance to make the 53-man roster. I expect him to get elevated again this week. And you look at the addition of Tyson Alualu. I think that his addition will be valuable. I'm not sure if he'll, you know, obviously, if he's going to play and get activated, that's another spot that needs to be addressed in the coming weeks. So you realize you have a plethora of options along the defensive line, starting with Levi Onwuzurike. Obviously, the versatility of Josh Pascal. He's another second-round player the organization wants to move forward and take steps forward to actually rush the passer. They see what he can do in the run game. They see his tackling ability. They see his energy. Now it's about the production. It's about, okay, get to the quarterback. Sack the quarterback. Make the play. You know, the extra 2 yards that a running back can get, if you can limit the production, if you can push them backwards, if you can have that quick ability to read a play and get there, that's just bodes well for Josh Pascal as he's working to stay healthy and show the coaching staff that he deserves to play more. But there's a player, and you're going to hear from him on this podcast. There's a player that has really caught the attention of the fan base. And I understand why, because when he's been in there, he's shown the attitude, he's shown productivity, shown sacks, and shown the ability to make plays. And his name is Isaiah Bugs. And it's a unique situation that everybody's talking about. What's wrong with Isaiah Bugs? What happened? Is he in the doghouse? What's going on? Is a player that seemingly is behind four other guys, can't get on the field, has been inactive, and not even suiting, not even willing. The team doesn't want him to play even four to five snaps, which I think is wrong. I think that clearly Isaiah Bugs in a spot situation should have a spot and should have an opportunity to make plays. But here's what we know. And, you know, having an opportunity to talk to him, here's what we clearly know. I was one of a small group of reporters that stood face-to-face with Isaiah before the season right near the beginning of the year when he first got benched and things like that. When it was kind of people were wondering, why did you take away the Lions from your social media? What happened? He posted feelings change and caused a stir, and everybody was wondering what happened. Well, once that happened, obviously the organization probably didn't take too kindly with it, started taking away his playing time and things like that. Well, small group of reporters, two. Obviously, the other is a well-recognized name, arguably one of the best beat writers in the country. Just two of us standing and talking to Isaiah, and he told us directly, and it's reported. If you're a subscriber to the other publication, you can read it. He felt the organization maybe didn't take too kindly to his lack of involvement in OTAs. And when that happened, you know, now we haven't heard from the organization. They're never going to tell you that, but they're always going to talk about performance. But he feels truly that part of the, and it's never one thing, guys. It's not like you did X, you're not playing. It's always a combination of a bunch of different things. Obviously, him going on social media was not smart. You cause a stir, you cause noise, you made it about yourself in a team environment. Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes are not going to like that. Clearly, a guy like Aaron Glenn, Dan Campbell, who've worked with Bill Parcells, are not going to like you going on social media and saying feelings change, no matter what it's about. And obviously, that caught the attention of the media, caught the attention of everybody, and that did not go well for Isaiah Bugs. So his playing time obviously gets impacted. But he thinks that obviously, you know, his OTA involvement was part of it. And then obviously the Lions do believe that his play needs to be more consistent. They feel like there are just better options when they see Quentin Bohanna. They like his big body. They obviously like big bodied guys in the interior. They brought in a very large project in Broderick Martin. And I know people are clamoring for him as well. But it's been clearly established. The organization has been transparent that Broderick Martin, even though they took him in the third round, is a project, a clear, distinct project. They don't feel he's ready to, with pad level fundamentals, understanding exactly the complicated scheme that Aaron Glenn needs to have on certain plays and certain downs. They don't feel he's ready. Maybe he'll be given an opportunity. I doubt it. I don't think he'll be one of the top options, especially when you're, guys, football, common sense will tell you. And Dan Campbell, while he's a player's coach, he's super friendly and things like that, he's an NFL coach that's obviously been around the greats with Bill Parcells and Sean Payton. When you're in crunch time, you don't count on third-round rookies. You don't count on rookies in a playoff push. You just don't in the interior of the defensive line. You're going to count on John Kaminsky. You're going to count on potentially Tyson Alualu. You're going to count on Bruce Irvin. You're going to count on these individuals to make some plays. You don't count on young players. Now, they're going to come in and contribute, but you can't base solely your reputation on a Broderick Martin who's raw in the interior. It could cause a big problem. If he takes penalties, if he gets exposed, it's a big problem. So the Lions are going to count on guys that are more productive and have more experience. And even though Quentin Bohanna is young, still got a lot more experience in the league. And you still have the likes of Isaiah Bugs, who I think the Lions can take advantage of and start to see. Give him this opportunity. So clearly the Lions felt like he needed to do more and be more responsible, be dependable, not play hero ball, not make, you know, not go in a situation in which you can clearly read the tea leaves. The Lions want, when your assignment is to do X, to clearly do X. No matter what you think, it's not to leave your assignment, leave your gap, and pursue a play. They want you to maintain your gap responsibility, maintain your assignment, do what you're told, do your job, and things will be better. And clearly, if a player, you know, has some breakdowns or mental errors and things like that, it's not going to bode well for their opportunity. And especially if you're a player like Bugs, you make a key mistake at a key time, the coaching staff is not going to like it. He's not going to highlight that to everybody, but that's clearly what's going on. They feel like, okay, if he's not doing his job and he's not consistent, then he's not going to see the field, as opposed to others who will listen, do what they're told, execute, and follow the plan to a T. Literally follow the plan. That's what the coaching staff wants. We don't care if there's a four-yard run and you could have stopped it. If we felt like you needed to pull and do this, you needed to go upfield, you needed to do this to take away a defender here to set up something later. They just need players to follow their assignments directly on each and every play consistently. So for Isaiah Bugs, you'll hear from him. I spoke to him. So over the course of the year, look, I felt like he has learned from that mistake. And you have to understand, these are passionate, ego-driven players. And I understand that. I'm a psychologist. I understand that when you start noticing your playing time or the way the organization feels about you changing, you're going to get all up in your feelings. You're going to have some emotions about it. You're a competitor. You want to play. So for that, I give him credit. I wouldn't go to social media. Never in a day would I post publicly what my opinions are. I'd be sitting in the coach's office every single day. Why can't I play? What can I do? What do I need to do? What's going on here? Okay, this play, this is what I did. I'd be explaining myself if I made a mistake. I would never, ever go to social media and try to explain myself because guys like me are going to write about it clearly. So over the time, though, once he started to recognize, oops, that's not the messaging that should be coming out of my mouth or on social media. Then over the course of the year, I've talked to him several times, very open, very humble, an individual that embodies what you would want in a defensive lineman, wants to be nasty, wants to pressure the quarterback, wants to make plays and make a name for himself. And over the course of the season, in my conversations with him, you can see a player that has understood, okay, I need to deliver my messaging in a more standard player speak kind of way. And that's what you'll hear. Yes, I asked him directly, do you feel like you're ready? Of course. And he's taken the stance in the recent articles I've written about him. He's taken the stance, when my opportunity comes, I got to make the most of it. He's not pouting. He's not making a scene in the locker room. He's playful. He even joked around with Aiden. Obviously, Isaiah went to Alabama. And I joked. I said, they let them in there, huh? And he said, no, they earned their way in there by beating Georgia. So he takes pride in being from Alabama. And he takes pride in, you know, the Roll Tide attitude and being one of those key defensive linemen. And he's not a problem in the locker room. You don't get a sense that he's having any problems with the teammates, but you get a sense that it just, he understands the coaching staff's made their decision. He accepts it. He understands that if his opportunity comes, he's got to take advantage of it, and he's not going to be a distraction. I spent about 5 minutes with him. You'll hear it now in the next few moments here to end this podcast. But that's what's going on with Isaiah Bugs. The coaching staff feels like there's better options. They feel like they want more consistent play. They want players to do their job consistently in practice and in games. And they obviously want a player that's all in, bought in from, you know, it's natural. They want all in guys. And there's an argument to be made that, hey, if you got family obligations, you got stuff going on, there is a life outside of football. So I don't begrudge a player like Bugs for wanting to be away from voluntary OTAs. But at the same time, you understand, look, football, to be excelling at the highest level, you got to have an all-in commitment. And that's like in life. Yeah, you can, you know, be an employee, or you can definitely own your company. If you own your own company, you're going to be working on Sunday. You're going to be working on holidays. You're going to have to, on Labor Day, go down to football and watch and cover and write and do stuff. If you want to be all in, you want to be in the mix of being considered one of the top of your job, you got to sacrifice a little bit. So here is my conversation with Isaiah Bugs. He's insightful. We talk about more than just his playing time. We talk about his relationship with Tyson Alualu, what he thinks Broderick Martin can bring to the table, what he thinks about the loss of Aleem McNeil. Isaiah, like I said, has been stand-up. He's a stand-up individual, has not dodged, you know, many of my media inquiries, always approachable. I enjoy talking to him. And I like talking to defensive linemen. I think I clearly, you can sense, based on my harsh criticism of the defense, I'm a defensive guy. Obviously, the offense is sexy, and it's great to talk to Sam Laporta, and Amon-Ra is very personable. But me personally, I like talking to defensive linemen, linebackers, the violent part of the game. I think my favorite, even though it's maybe 5-6 minutes, he won't remember me, but I think one of my favorite talks this year has been with Bruce Irvin, just talking to him about loving to hit the quarterback, loving the violence of the game. that's the part I think if I had to choose, obviously my natural personality would be coaching defense, you know, but obviously I have another side that would be like, you know, it would be fun to coach offense and just be the guy that's everyone loves and scoring points. And I think it's easier to coach offense than it is defense. So I just think that my natural tendency is to enjoy talking to the defensive linemen, the linebackers, and I'm more comfortable and kind of understand a little bit more of how to discuss the nuances of the game with that side of the football. I'm working on the other side, and like you said, you've seen me talk to other people as well. So I thank you guys for your continued support of All Lions. We got a lot of good features this week. After Sam Laporta's great game, we got a great in-depth interview that was conducted by Justin Mello, special contributor. You can hear what Sam Laporta's thought of his season and his pursuit of the record. But here's my conversation with Isaiah Bugs. Thank you for listening. I think you'll enjoy it. And I appreciate everybody that visits All Lions. And I thank SI.com and Fan Nation for allowing this project that we've started here at the Detroit Sports Podcast to get off the ground and to spread this thing nationwide. And for those that have us on their weekly shows, we appreciate it. It just has been a fun part to be part of the media. And we're a small part of the Detroit media, but I know you trust us, and that means a lot to us. And that's why we love broadcasting, love bringing you the inside information from Allen Park through our vision, through our eyes. And it's a different way, another set of eyes that's covering the team. And we appreciate your support, because without your support, I couldn't be able to do this. I wouldn't be able to have feature guests on the podcast, those that want to be featured and interviewed on our platform. So thank you for visiting All Lions. This has been the Bang the Table Podcast. Enjoy the interview with Isaiah Bugs.
Just first, obviously, it's unfortunate, but what does it mean now with the loss of Aleem for the next four, at least the next four games?
It's a huge loss, but, you know, we got guys here, you know, that got to step up. As a whole unit, as a whole front, we got to be collectively and fundamentally sound. Yep. It's going to have to be a team effort to replace Mac, such a special person and a player. Came a long way, so we all going to have to buy in together as a defensive unit to fill his void.
Yeah, this week, what are your initial thoughts on the going out there and potentially playing in a game where the weather is going to be definitely a factor?
We can't make the weather a factor. We got to beat the odds, man, of every situation. We'll be ready. The guys will be prepared to play in rain, sleet, snow, hail. We got to be all in and buy in. It's a big one for us. It's going to be a test for us, mentally and physically, and we got to be mentally and physically prepared for it.
Yeah. For you personally, what's it been like now? Obviously, been in and out of the lineup the last, you know, six games.
Buying in and just staying available. Whenever my number is called, just being available to the team. And like I said before, whatever these guys need for me to do, that's what I'm going to do.
Do you feel like, though, that you've been, because we asked Dan about, okay, we see the options with Levi, Isaiah, Benito, and he just says be consistent, you know, win your reps, do your thing, do your job, and things like that. Do you feel like it should be your time now to take over for Aleem and get more opportunities?
Well, I wouldn't say my time to take over, but it's an opportunity that I got to fulfill and that we got to fulfill as a unit up front. So, like I said, every opportunity, every chance that I get and we get, we got to make it the best of our ability.
Okay. Do you feel like you are healthy and ready to go if your number's called this week?
Most definitely. I'll be healthy and ready to go.
Okay. Well, for your first opportunity, what are your thoughts on how Justin, from you're looking at film, how have you looked at how Justin's played?
He's definitely grown into a better player. And we just got to be consistent with our rushing lanes and our techniques to be able to contain them and slow them down. Like I said, it's really about us, not about them. As long as we control our part and do what we need to do, we'll be better.
Yeah, and then your early thoughts on having Bruce now on that defensive line doing his thing. Kind of seems like he wants to bring a new attitude, a new swagger to this D-line.
Most definitely. Bruce is a vet. You know, he knows the in and outs to win. He don't want a lot of ball games. So has Tyson and Lulu. I'm glad to have him in here. You know, we spent many years together in Pittsburgh. He always been a veteran leader to me, a mentor to me. I learned and copied my game from him, so it's a blessing to have him in the locker room.
Yeah, what does he bring, for those who don't know? Obviously, a vet from Pittsburgh.
He brings a lot of leadership, veteranship, just a lot of knowledge on how the game's supposed to be played. He's been in for a long time. Done played under many defenses, many coaches, and It's just fortunate that he's here with us, and we happy that he's here.
Yeah, absolutely. And then obviously, you know, just look at it on a big picture. You guys are 9-3. Has it been fun for you? Because obviously last year was a grind. It started off 1-6. You finished off strong, but now this year it's a grind. But you guys are winning these games.
Yeah, winning is always fun. When you win, it's always fun. But you got to continue to win.
Yeah.
And the moment you lose, it's like, man, the whole world's coming down.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we got to continue to do our job, be fundamentally physical and mental sound, so we can keep this win streak going.
Now, you've also got another young player in Broderick waiting his turn. Obviously, he's developing and things like that. What have you seen from him? Obviously, people want to see him, but obviously he's young and developing and things like that. So what do you see from him?
Brad is a guy that wants to learn and always, you know, eye-opening and waiting on his chance. And he's been developing to a pretty good player. He's working hard every day. Worth it. He's always high. And the future is, and the sky is very bright for Broderick. And I'd be excited to see him get going this week.
What's he going to bring? Obviously, you know, he's a young cat, rookie, learning it along the way. We see his physical nature probably in the run game. What is he going to bring when he does eventually get his time, when his number's called?
He's going to have to bring everything that he got with him.
Yeah.
From fundamentally sound, physically sound, from technique, just the whole 9 yards. He's going to have to be ready for anything that comes this way. That's the thing about this league.
Yeah.
You're professionals for a reason. So when it's your time, it's going to be time to go.
Then just for you, one last thing then, obviously, like in a week like this, are you still working on fundamentals? What do you do to get your game? What do you do in a week like this to get your game better?
Most definitely. Just working on being fundamentally sound and staying focused and staying prepared in the playbook.